start with injuries as always. George King looking like a fairly serious hamstring. What's his issue there?
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the final scan results, but at this stage it'll be a decent time on the sideline. The one thing, you know, if George is hobbling, you know there's an injury there. He's a tough man. He's put a lot of consecutive games together for us, and it's a shame that he'll be missing. But as I said, we'll get final results today at some stage, but it's not looking great.
Such a regular appearance maker for you as well. How's he taking the news?
Yeah, he hasn't been too bad. I mean, it's one of those, he doesn't feel a lot of pain with it. So I think it's more the tendon. So that can happen. So, you know, if most of the time, if you do a hamstring, you see people pull up and they're in a bit of pain, where George was the opposite. And he's not in a great deal of pain. But obviously, if you ran, he'd do a lot more damage. So, he's in decent spirits. But it's unfortunate for George and our team.
Of course, that is one area that you probably got the most cover in your squad with. Who are you going to be looking to step up and take George's role for the next few weeks?
Yeah, well, we've had a good rotation with our middles, and pretty much the reason for that is I want our middles, you know, I want them to put their hand up and say who wants the longer minutes and who's going to be our enforcer type, you know, front rower. I think Jai Whitbread's been outstanding, playing long minutes. We started Jesse Sue last week. Sam Luckley's come back, and we know he had a really good season last year. And he's starting to come back into some form and get some game time under his belt. So Sam will definitely play longer minutes. You've got Matty Staughton. It doesn't matter where Matty stays at prop or back row. He does a good job for us as well. We've got some choice there, and there's no doubt, as I said, I'm looking for who wants to play longer minutes and make an impact each game.
The other one coming out of last week with Mike Lewis failing is HIA. How's he looking?
Yeah, he's not too bad. He's in decent spirits, Mike. Obviously, he'll miss the game this week, which is unfortunate for him and the team, but it certainly gives someone else another opportunity. And but he's okay at the moment. He's pulled up okay. Yeah.
Watching the replay, it looked like a fairly well knee that hit him on the head and gave him that injury. Are you at all annoyed about how it happened?
Oh, there's no doubt. He kicked out in the tackle. There's no doubt about that. You could see that. I think it ended up being like a his foot, like more so than the knee. So there was certainly some contact there. Both passionate players, aren't they?
Yeah, I was just thinking purely in terms of there's so much focus on the moment about players better controlling their body and avoiding any unnecessary contact with the head. But I just thought it looked like a fairly aimless knee when we're putting so much concentration on reducing head contact. So I just wondered your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, the judicial, the... what are they called?
The panel.
The panel, made a decision in terms of they didn't see, there was too much in it. But for me, you know, Matt Parcell got a grade B for a little facial. So we just need to be consistent there, don't we? I mean, it was all, you could see there was contact to the head. There's no doubt about that. There was force to the head. Now we've got a player that can't play this weekend. So Matt Parcell, there was a little facial, which happens in every single tackle, or just about every single tackle, which hasn't been pulled up again. So for me, when someone kicks out like that, and then you've got a player that can't play the week after, you know, I probably think there should be a little bit more done about it. Well, be consistent.
Have you asked the panel for any clarity over that, or is it?
No, they've made their decision, and that's their decision. You know, you asked my opinion on it, that's my opinion on it. So, as I said, like, Matt Parcell got done for a game and a grade B for a minor facial. And then, as I said, we've had a player that's been made contact to the head, and you can see that. So, and then he doesn't play the week after. So we just got to be consistent with it.
other than those two, is it a clean bill of health going into the game?
Yeah, we've got some bumps and bruises. There's some guys there that are tired after last game. It was probably the most ball in play that we've had. They're an effort-based team as well, Huddersfield. So certainly, we've got some guys there that we need to manage this week. George is obviously not playing, and Mikey.
Of course, Mikey's absence does give you a decision to make over halfback selection. Have you had any thoughts on that already?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought about it straight after the game. and naturally, Ben can't play due to playing for Featherstone, so it'll give opportunity to someone else. We've got some options there.
What will your selection look like for this Challenge Cup game? Will you be considering resting anybody, or will it be a full-strength squad?
Why would we rest anybody?
Is Challenge Cup rise up in your priorities then? You're taking it as any other league game?
Oh, absolutely. We fell short last year by one. We made it to the final game. We want a taste of it again. Before I come over, I've always respected the Challenge Cup and what it's all about, and being involved in it and going all the way to the final. You want to be part of that, and it's not about me. The players want to be part of it. They got a taste of it, and there's no doubt we're going out this weekend to win. It's a knockout competition, and I find that with this team, every time we've been under pressure to win games, we've handled that pressure really well. And I'll point out after the Challenge Cup. Obviously, we didn't win the Challenge Cup, but to win those games prior to that. And then to go on a run of six or seven games the back end of the season when, after a Challenge Cup, we possibly weren't going to make the six, and then we found ourselves in the four. A lot of those games, there was pressure to win those games, and the players handled it extremely well. So, I find we're a team that's getting better at that. I'm interested to see and looking forward to seeing how we handle that again on Friday night against a very good Salford team.
You've got a mix of players in the squad at the moment between guys who played in that Challenge Cup final and those who've come in since. How are you using last year's final? Are you using it to motivate any players at all, or is it very much a focus on a new season, a new challenge?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. There's no doubt, we've had conversations about that we want to be there again in terms of playing in those big games. It's natural for any team. Every team's having those conversations, and we're no different, but we've got a new team. So what we need to do is, we've got a game that we believe we can win if we meet certain KPIs and targets that we want to achieve. I think on the weekend we completed at 90%. We hadn't built pressure like that on many teams. We won our first two, but I still don't think we built pressure like we did on the weekend. So, we scored five tries against a very good team, but that's because we built some pressure by holding the footy. We still asked a lot of questions, but it was our defence that set that game up. So, if we, regardless of a new team or not, we know our identity and who we are as a team, and that's what we need to stick to, and the new guys are buying into that. There's no doubt about that.
So, of course, you only played them a couple of weeks ago. What lessons did you take from that first outing with them?
Yeah, plenty of lessons. They're a good team. I said that beforehand. They're playing a good style. They try and spoil you. We know what they're going to bring, but we also know what we did there and how we approached that game. It wasn't to the level that we want to. So our preparation, we've had to have a look at that. It's a 6-day turnaround, but we've just had a good session there. And we need to, we need to prepare like we did last week, because when we do that, the outcome ends up being, better than, we end up getting the results that we want.
A couple of players went and played Featherstone this week on your dual reg, Louis Gorman and Yusuf Aydin. How do you think they got along?
Yeah, good. I was really happy with the way they played. Yusuf got through loads of work like he does. Louis Gorman played at fullback. He was going to start on the bench, come on as a centre, end up playing fullback. I think he may have got the man of the match for them, but he really liked what he did. Kicked a few goals from the sideline, a couple of goals from the sideline. Certainly Louis's going to be, he's a player of the future, and he's a player that we all love coaching, and we love his teammates. He's very popular amongst his teammates as well. So, he's got a great attitude, and he's what this club's about in terms of you know, what his DNA is and who he is as a person. And, you know, we've got high hopes for Louis. And the feedback, you know, from all our players that have gone on loan has been extremely positive. And it's important. It's really important. We look at that, you know, obviously the player and getting feedback as a person just as high as what they do on the field. So happy with the way those guys went. We had a look at their clips this morning. We put a little package together, and so the other guys could see what they did, and you know, they all played well. And it was, as I said, like the feedback that we got from both clubs, you know, it was pleasing.
Is that something you're particularly keen on then, making sure that those players who have gone out on loans, whether they be season long or just a dual reg game, still feel connected to the main squad?
Absolutely, it's vital. It's just the way our game is. We don't have that reserves each week, where you've got the squad together, and then they go back and play in the reserves. Then obviously, win the game, sing the team song, all that sort of stuff. That's all I spoke about this last week. It's so important for players, and sometimes they don't do that for a month. So now what we want to do is go and get players some game time with other clubs. But when they come back, you know, they're always a whole KR player, and then they need to be connected to the group. So we're just trying to find ways that we can you know, learn from last year of how we can connect our players better, because it's number one priority for us. We want to have a connected club from top down, connected to our admin staff. Yeah, obviously, there's a strong connection to our fans, and it starts for us internally. If we don't have a connection and a strong bond internally, people see through that, and you're never going to have success. And what we're about is having a strong connection internally, and we're just trying to always think of ways of how we can develop that.
How close are Louis and Yusuf to getting into your first team squad?
Yeah, they're really close. They'll be named in the 21, so possibly they could be in this week's team. But they're not far off. You know, they know Louis's only a young kid. You know, he's just come out of academy. So this is where we need to, you know, with a lot of our fringe players, like what players need to do first is they need to go to, if they play reserve grade, they need to play well in reserve grade to say, yep, they can handle reserve grade and excel at that. Then the next level is obviously championship. So for me, Louis's done that and he's now doing that at championship. But what he needs to do is do it week in, week out. Championships, I believe it's a really good level in terms of the toughness, and you know, there's players in that competition that can be playing Super League, but they choose not to because they want to work and, you know, top their money up by playing rugby. But they certainly can play Super League level. So it's a really good competition for our guys that have just come out of our academy system who are good enough to play in that level. So for me now, like Louis will, if he's not playing with us, I'm sure Feb will want him back, which they've told us he does. It's about him doing that every week now. So then he becomes, okay, well, now he's a championship player. So therefore his next progression is to become a Super League player. I think what we, again, because of the setup, because people are in a, or players are in a Super League setup, it doesn't necessarily mean they're Super League players until, as I say, you've got to prove yourself at championship level before you can become a Super League player.
One thing you said to us after the game last week was that obviously you see Saints and Wigan as your benchmark sides and you're not quite there yet. What at the minute for you is separating Rovers from those two sides?
Consistency. They've proven. I mean, you look at the games on the weekend that they played. So Salford was probably the better team for majority of that game, but Wigan found a way to win because Wigan didn't change too much. So what happens is when you're under pressure, habits come out, regardless whether they're good or bad. So Wigan have created over many years a lot of good habits, and you thrive under that. You thrive when you're under pressure. And as I said, the habits come out. St Helens were exactly the same. Leeds were by far the better team in that first half, but a couple of adjustments and them sticking to what they're about, and they come out and they won that second half. So for us, there's no doubt we can handle and play against the best teams in the competition, but it's doing it week in, week out. You know, the games that we got beaten, And they weren't our best games, but we still had a chance to win those games. You know, I said previously before last week, we weren't that far off. And then we went and put in a good performance, but we're still nowhere near, or I say nowhere near, we're still not where we want to be. And for me, how do you get that? Well, you get it through consistency. We know what type of game that we want to play, so it's the discipline to stick to that when things get tough, when we're under pressure, and then we'll see how far, you know, that takes us. But last year we had a strong mindset around that, especially that back end of the year, and I think we're still finding our feet in that sense to be consistent with it. So that's where the difference is at the moment between those best teams and the teams just underneath.
Well, I think that's everything from me, Willie. Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you.
Willie, how are you?
Good, Matt. Yourself?
Not bad. I know that a lot of talk's been about how Nile Levels played, how Petter played. I just wanted to get your tactical insight on it, really, because you said from the get-go that what you do one week might not be the thing you do the next week. It might tactically depend on who you're playing, you know, their positions and others as well. I know that both had good games at the weekend, but I'm assuming the message is still the same. That doesn't necessarily mean that they will both remain there short-term, medium-term, long-term. You know, it will all depend on game-by-game form and many other factors as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Petter and Noel's situation, as I said, that I'd told Petter and spoke to Petter before the year that he was going to get first crack at fullback. Obviously, then we got Niall off the back of that. Niall was fully aware that we'd signed Petter to start at fullback. He was willing to still come to the club, start on the wing, and then back himself. So what we did in games, we moved Niall during games because, you know, naturally for Pet, it was a new position to him. And what we wanted to do was use those first 4 weeks to feel and see where players are best suited. Look, I'll be honest, you need to have a look at the weekend. Petter is better suited in the centres at the moment. Noel's better suited at fullback. It was far more natural for both players. So, you know, Petter may play fullback again this year, but it will be mainly around, I suppose, if Niall, touch wood, anything happens there. Because, as I said, like, Petter felt far more comfortable in the centres and Niall was far more comfortable at fullback. So at this stage, you know, we'll progress along those lines if Petter doesn't play another position this week.
Just on Peck, obviously I know that one of the motivations for him making the move was to play fullback, but you said that, you know, his feedback to you was that he felt more comfortable there. So is he... And is he all right with it, that playing at centre? I mean, I know he's a team player and will do it, but I think, you know, he did come with that motivation to play fullback. So how's he with it at the minute? Is he on board with it?
Yeah, so like you said, Petter's a team player. So as a coach, you know, I believe, you know, well, I believe, I know I'm a man of my word. So my word was to give him the first opportunity. The key is, you need to communicate with the players. You need to talk to them where they're at, you know, what's best for the team. Petter and I have had many conversations. So, you know, if Petter had to play fullback next week, I've got no issue whatsoever with that, and neither would he. It's, as I said, we needed to see when Petter needed to spend some time there for those first few weeks. But we've trained Noel at fullback as well in the preseason. We needed to see.
Recording stopped.
Can you hear me, Matt?
Yeah, I've got you. Yeah. I just heard recording stopped.
We needed to see what, where the players were best suited. But as I said, I gave Pet my word that he was going to start there, and he was fully aware of that. But he's also fully aware of the conversations that we've had, you know, from pre-season up until now, and he's on board with everything that we're doing. As I said, his attitude's outstanding, and, you know, whether he played centre, whether he played at six, or whether he played at one, he knows he's a valued player in our team, and he will be. And as I said, like, he probably will play fullback at some stage again. That doesn't mean because we're moving Noel to another position. It's just part and parcel. Look at Mikey Lewis not playing this week. But certainly everyone's comfortable with, and they're all on board with the changes that we've made. And then, like every week, players need to play well to keep their position.
And just finally, I know you mentioned him after the game, but Dean Hadley was another who moved position. And I suppose just a bit of appreciation for him, because he seems to, wherever you play him, he just seems to never have a bad game. I know everyone talks about your spine players and that, but just how important is he to what you do as a team?
Yeah, he's extremely important. Like, whenever Dean Hadley plays in and you look around in the dressing room, he's the type of player that you look around and go, we're going to be in it today, because guys like him, James Batchelor, you know, obviously Minnie, Jai Whitbread, they just work. And they do things that, as I said, I've said it before, that people don't see, but we certainly see, his teammates certainly see. You know, he could have and wanted to keep playing the whole game. I asked him beforehand, or I said to him beforehand, that, you know, you're going to be playing long minutes, and he loves it. That's what he loves doing. He loves playing rugby. He's a great family man. He's got, you know, really strong values, the way he lives his life. And then what you see on the footy field and the rugby field is what he's about off the field. So what you see is what you get with Dean. That's why we love him. He's a person that is a popular player amongst the group, and he's a very, very valued player at the club.
Brilliant. Cheers, Willie.
Cheers, Matt.